Oh, we are actually giving teachings on the Buddhist teachings or the Buddhist discourses. So it is, Buddhism is not something that you merely make kind of prayers and so forth. Rather, that is to bring about transformation to one's own mind. So that transformation has to be done by way of employing some kind of techniques of reasoning and logic and so forth, and also calculating the benefit, the short-term and the long-term benefit and so forth, and thereby then trying to bring about transformation to our mind. So we see that the thing to be transformed is the mind, and the technique by which the transformation is undertaken is also the mind, and the thing to be transformed fully is also the mind. As such, during whatever occasion of receiving the Buddha Dharma or discourses, whether it is the teacher or the disciples, everyone has to make a proper motivation to listen to the discourses. So because of this, we're going to say the Sangye Shizuma, or the stanza for taking refuge in Bodhicitta, three times together. So first, taking refuge in the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, and that too for the sake of all the other sentient beings. So in short, whatever merit that they accumulate, they are to be benefited for all the sentient beings. Such kind of motivation should be well created, and say the stanza together. Every one of us is not desirous of suffering and desirous of happiness. So that is commonly being shared, a thing among all the sentient beings. It's not only confined to the human beings, but even to all the other sentient beings, including the insects. But there's something very special about the humankind, is that we have a tremendous power of thinking. So because of that, it could be of incredible benefit, and yet if employed in a negative way, could be very disastrous in ways of our thinking, in ways of our bringing about very unpeaceful state of mind. So it is because of this that in the among human beings, because of the different ways of thinking and the conceptualization, we tend to have different kinds of pains and experiences of pain and suffering and so forth. So those kind of experiences of suffering, whatever, so these are those which are derived by way of conceptualization, cannot be something eradicated by way of material gains or progress. So we have to seek another way, something which is very unique or something very very uncommon from the other sentient beings. So we see that is the practice of the Buddha Dharma. So in the Lankavatara, it speaks about the different kinds of vehicles or the paths, the part of the Brahma, the part of the human, the part of the Deva, and the part of the Shravakas, and the part of Pratyeka Buddhas, and the part of Bodhisattvas.
Mm-hmm.
So if we look at the different religious faiths, say we have Hindu, Jain, Muslim, Christianity, Buddhism, Jew, and so forth. All these traditions, they are of benefit to mankind. Out of these, the major religious faiths, they have their own unique philosophical standpoints. So we see that those religious faiths, based on philosophical grounds, they are more profound and subtle. And this India, since 2,000 or 3,000 years ago, it consisted of a tremendous amount of different faiths. Faiths that are born from this country itself, and many of the faiths, they came from other places as well. And we see that all these different faiths in the land of India, they live in harmony. So this is something great. This is what is actually required in this contemporary world. So it is because that in some other places in the world, we find clash or fightings going on in the name of religion. So those religious faiths which are grounded on some philosophical standpoint, so from their perspective it is not just sufficient to make prayers or have faith in the religion, but rather the crucial point is to study and first of all understand what these different faiths and their faiths are based on or grounded on. So in many of the faiths, although there is the tradition, a tradition of generating faith in the very religion, but we find that the number of people who are really engaged or analyzing as to what the content matter of the religion is very limited. So it is because of this that the very firm belief or the trust that you have on the religion would be very unlikely. So it is because of this that when you encounter with a difficult situation, then you tend to lose faith in the religion, you tend to distrust the religion, and so forth. As such, it is very important that one need to develop a very strong sense of conviction in your own faith by way of learning, by way of studying the content matter or the message of this very religion that you trust in or have faith in. And the Buddhist teachings in particular, the very style of his approach is by way of bringing about reflection as the element to bring about transformation to one's own mind. So as such, in Buddhism, the special emphasis has to be made on studying and trying to be aware of the content matter or the message of Buddhism. So since that undergoing strenuous studies in the Buddhist teachings is very important. So first of all, you have to know the trend of the philosophical standpoints and positions of the Buddha Dharma. And then we have to know as to how to employ or internalize those philosophical learnings into one's own practice. So this is the way and manner in which the religious faiths, which are based on some philosophical points, they operate. And in Buddhism, there is what we call the philosophical understanding, or the basis called dependent origination. And dependent origination in terms of, by way of dependence on its causes. So it is very crucial in Buddhism to understand and know the dependent origination by way of dependence on their respective causes. Having understood that, then you have to internalize these in your daily practices, that what to be abundant and what to be actualized, what to be practiced. So this concept of the dependence, law of causality, or the dependent origination by way of the causality, this is something very unique of Buddhism. As such, this is the demarcating line on the Buddhism from the rest of the religious faiths. So this understanding of dependent origination by the dependence on the causes of the law of causality, so that by accepting, by understanding this, will then let you know that there is no such concept as the creator. And because of our understanding of the law of causality, you know that everything, the very arousal of everything, is based on, by way of dependence on something else, and nothing of its own concrete or of the independent mode. So as such, it is said in the Buddhist literature that Buddhism proposes the absence of the self, which is apprehended by the self-ego, and whereas the non-Buddhist philosophers, they propose the idea of the self, concrete self, as proposed, as apprehended by the self-grasping mind. Although this self does exist, but to our ordinary perception, we have an idea that this self is something, an independent mode, which is absolutely independent of the aggregates, the body and mind, and so forth. And it seems, it appears as if like this self is something, a proprietor or the owner of these aggregates which composed this self. So the Buddhist philosophy then rejects this idea of the concreteness or the inherency of this self. So this understanding of the selflessness of the person is something very unique of Buddhism. And other than Buddhism, rest of the non-Buddhist schools of thought, so they propose the idea of the self, which is something very independent and a proprietor-like aspect called anatma. So that is Atma, and the Buddhism proposes the idea of the Anatma, which means non-self, or the selflessness of the intrinsicality. So Buddhism then further goes on to say that this self, or the person, or whatever, so they come about merely by way of dependence on their respective causes, and not by way of through the power of some creator, some external agent as a creator. So this is something very crucial that those people who admire, who appreciate Buddhism should understand well.